And I was saying that Thanksgiving, in a sense, becomes a habit to us. Habits are good many times. Because we are so used to doing it, it just seems to be there within our heart. Now, decision-making is something that is quite different because each decision is different. It's made up of different components. So therefore, it's not a habit. You may say, I make decisions all day, but they're not habits. Something you have to think through, each decision. So I've been teaching this lesson, I think that once we decide, when we have a decision, we want to see if our decision, and I think this is the essence of it, that as a Christian, we are his child, the love of his heart, the one who cares the most about us. Now, in an earthly frame, many times our decisions are because we want to please that one that we're either impressing or care about or will be the easiest thing for us. So actually we do have a premise in our mind of the types of decisions we make. Do you understand what I mean? In other words, I have to make a decision about something within our marriage. I have a good marriage. So therefore, my decision may lean toward the fact that I want to please my husband. So that's the principle that I have in marriage. If I'm a husband, I should have that fact, that principle within my heart. I want to please my wife. So together, when there is that area of concern about each other, you'll be able to make decisions that will really matter. And so what I'm saying is that we have a sort of a premise that we make our decisions from. At work, when we make a decision, we want it to be a good decision because our job may depend on it. So we are going to look for that which maybe doesn't help the employees, but it makes money for the directors. So you see, we go into some of our decisions already with a premise of what really is important to us. That I said all of that to say that we as children of God should have one premise, and that's to please God. When I think that I have a capacity, an ability to please God, that's startling. Isn't it? Look at the universe. Look at the glory of it, the beauty of it, the rhythm of it, the math of it. And you know, it would take brains far more than any of us to ever create something like that. And yet to think that one who is so powerful and so great, I can please him? That's a wonderful thought. It should be a premise in our life. So as we think about decisions, maybe we need to start making a premise or a habit in our life of wanting our decisions to please God. Because I want to tell you something I've learned. When they please him, they turn out to please me. Because I found out that many good decisions that God has helped us to make has come out for something that really is good in our life. But I have made lots of decisions that didn't please God. And later it didn't please me. So we have to realize then that if we in our spiritual life, some of us have not grown in great maturity yet. He's still working on us. He's still helping us to grow. He's helping us. But I trust that we will get to a place where we will really want to please God. then we can start looking at decisions from that point of view. Decide that he initiates it. Now, this is a wonder, far as I'm concerned, because many, many things I think come from me. I thought of it. It just came to me. Wow, that's the right decision to make. When literally, many of the things that come to us that are good comes from he initiates it. That's a hard one to understand. But we can look at it on the other side, the things that God initiated that was evil. I won't say he initiated it, but he allowed that which was evil. It was Moses, it was Pharaoh that in his heart, he wanted to hurt the children of Israel. Did God put it there? At least if Satan did, God used it in his working toward Israel. So we have to understand that there are times that we see that the things that we think, the ideas that come, are not always ours. In fact, as a child of God, there's a lot of them that come from God. Particularly when we are geared to listening. When we really want to know that, Lord, how do you think about this? What do you think I should do? Actually, I have done this a large part of my life. I go shopping and I say, now, Lord, I need this. I'm not a shopper. I guess he knows that. That's why he helps me out. And I'll say, now, Lord, I remember one time someone said, I want to get you a pair of shoes. They probably saw I needed them. I don't know. But anyhow, I thought, oh, I did need a pair of shoes, and I wanted a pair of shoes. But it's so hard for me to shop for those things many times. So, you know, they took me there, and right there was the nicest pair of shoes. Now, that lady had to have some kind of understanding. My shoes, I'm sure, didn't look that bad. I tried to keep them pretty good. But somehow there was something that came to her that she wanted to get me a pair of shoes. This has happened many times in life when people will say, you know, I think you might need this. And you think, well, I initiated, I thought it, but not really. It's God who initiates many things in our heart and in our mind. We might like to take the, you know, the glory for it, but he is the one that initiates it in us. So if we're going to have a decision, now I'm not talking about what kind of seasons to put in your meat. I have to do that because I can't cook. But, you know, those of you who can cook, you know what to do, and you don't have to say, now, Lord, you're going to have to help me to know if I should put this cinnamon in. I've learned that I shouldn't. I cooked something the other day and put a little cinnamon in, and I decided, no, I shouldn't put cinnamon in. But what I'm saying is there are many decisions in life that God gave us a little brain about to understand, to learn, to understand situations. And so therefore we can take them and we can evaluate, and asking God to help, we can find some good decisions. But many decisions, we have to recognize that we need God's help. Now, do they line up? Does this decision that I'm going to make, does it line up with his word? I remember when I was in Haiti. And every 3 months, you're supposed to get your visa renewed. Well, I don't know. It just passed me. And I don't know what month it was. And I hadn't had my visa renewed. So here I'm praying, Lord, should I get my visa renewed? And the Lord said, I don't have to tell you that. You know, it's against the law if you don't. Boy, I had to go and I was scared. I thought, oh, mercy, when they see I'm over, I'm going to have trouble. And when I went to them, they were very nice about it. But I'm saying, it didn't line up with the Word of God told me, you're supposed to be honest in all things. And so when I was trying to use my excuses, he allowed me to see it didn't line up with the Word of God. And there are some things that we have to recognize that doesn't line up with the Word of God. Now, I know you will call me fanatical, but, you know, when I watch programs on the Internet, and you know that I like the documents, but if I see something in the beginning of that document that I don't feel like is going to really be what I believe, or it's going to bring something out that I'm not for, I turn that off, because I don't want to be indoctrinated and become sympathetic. You know, when I, years ago, my church was very much against television. Well, as time went on, we joined another church, and that other church wasn't. So now we could have television. So I loved that kind of thing, so I bought myself a television. Oh, it was a wonderful learning experience. As I watched it, I remember the one particular, and I tell you, little by little, the Lord just showed me and took me out of that. I'm not saying for you. He knows that I am, as an OCD, very addictive to things. And I can be very addictive, like to news, to stories, to all kinds of things. So he has to keep me pretty well tuned up. But he showed me. I remember one day I came in from school. I was teaching the third grade, I believe, in Baltimore City, down in the inner city, and boy, was I tired. So I like to come home and relax, and I would turn the television on, and there was, of course, that time of day, the soap operas. And so I'm just sitting there, you know, and this was about, I don't remember the name of it, but this woman was a very nice woman. And her husband had run out on her. And so now there was this marital problem. And I guess maybe, I don't know if she was what she was doing, getting divorced or what. But then there came an episode when she met a nice man. And he seemed to be so nice. And I found myself saying, it's time she got somebody nice to take care of her. And it hit me. And the Lord said, you're condoning evil. Well, the soapbox stories went, and one thing after another, the Lord showed me. But that was me. But maybe for some of you that are addicted to it, maybe it ought to be you too. But you may need. But what I'm telling you is that we cannot accept, because something's dead in us. That's why children sometimes can go and shoot people dead. They've seen so many of them die on television. They've killed so many on their computer games that I don't know. I think they're desensitized. And so we have to understand this isn't what God would want, because of the Word of God says it. Does this accomplish His purpose? Am I really wanting to see His work go forward? To see myself mature in Him? Will this accomplish my life? I remember as I was leaving, I left high school, that God wanted me to be a missionary. I think I was in grammar school when I felt that. But anyhow, as I got into college, I had to work my way through college. And one of the places I worked in was a nursing home. I loved it very, very much. I just enjoyed it. Don't ask me why, but I enjoyed being with those old people and making them happy, and I like to make them laugh. I'm a sanguine, and that's sort of, you know, the way we are. And as I worked around, the owner of the place and the manager came to me, and they said, we'd like you to go on to nursing school and take nursing in the area of the older people. And it was a good offer. Go to nursing school, have it paid for. But as I prayed and as I thought in my heart, that's not God's purpose for my life. Oh, I could have said, but Schwartz, you can go to the mission fields as a nurse. But I knew that wasn't God's purpose. Then there was a man who wanted me to go to India. He would pay my education. He would pay for me to go to India. But I knew that wasn't the purpose God had for me. Then, lo and behold, I became interested in a young man. And we were going together. And as time went on, I had such an uneasiness in my heart. And I began to pray. And it wasn't as easy as giving up nursing or India, because there was emotions involved. And I began... that you almost feel like you know every part of it. And I have to tell you, I sometimes would rather go to Galatians and read than read the Christmas story over again. Now, you can say what you want about that, but I have just heard it, and I feel like I know most, you know, most all of it. It's just, but then I can read, and God will bring out some truth that I never thought of. And so many times in his word, he will open up something to you that will help you in your decision making. Why? Because you want him. We want it to be initiated by him. We want it to line up to the word of God. We want to accomplish his purpose. Don't you want to have a purpose in life? My cousin, what you would say is a real, her husband was a real success. They had a beautiful home. He owned part of a company that was it was Borden's Inc. It was a good company, good stable company. They had everything they pretty well wanted. But she told me, she said, Jen, you're the only one that's had a purpose in life. You see, even after we get all these things, now I like gadgets. And I like things too. And I've got things. I got a water purifier. I have a bullet. You know what a bullet is? Huh? It's like a little. I like these little gadgets. So I'm not saying anything. But what I'm trying to say is that the real meaty things in life, we really need to constantly be looking toward the Lord, asking him. He's a friend. He's our father. He's the lover of our soul. He cares about us. That's why we can ask, seek, and knock. Because really, he has different ways of communicating with us. And we just need to be in tune and work toward that we can hear him. Sometimes we don't ask him for help until we're in trouble, instead of asking for help to help us not to get in trouble. So we have to be very careful. Now here is 8 tests for decision making. And they run along fairly well with this, particularly the scripture one. First, has God already spoken about it in his word, whether it's good or bad? Then there's the secrecy test. Would it bother me if anyone knew that this was my choice? If I make that choice, that's why when I think of men that use the computer for and women too, for pornography, would they be bothered if their son knew it? If their boss knew it? Sometimes even if their church knew it. Because some pastors have had some real problems with this also. So we should ask ourselves, when I make this decision, I don't care who it bothers, you say. You have a family. And you, when the decisions you make, you want to be honorable in your family. So you don't want to make choices that you know it will bother, it isn't right. Then another one is a survey test. What if everyone followed my example? That's so true. We can make decisions. Some people in the cults, they make decisions in thousands of followers. There was one called Jimmy Jones. That's right, Jimmy Jones. And he took his group of people to Guyana, and there they all poisoned themselves to death. Why? They were following that example, his example. And that man was one time a Bible-believing holiness preacher. The spiritual test. Am I being people pressured or spirit pressured? Am I doing this because My wife wants me. My boss wants me. My friends want me. Or am I being led by the Spirit of God? No, I can't because. Or yes, I can do that because God is leading me that way. You know, we can be very pressured by people. So we have to understand that. I know that we need to get along. We really do. And we need to care about each other. And we do want to please people. I'm with little Ethan, Dorothy's grandson, I please him too much. I give in to him terribly. I have to tell you, I'm teaching you, you're not supposed to do that. And I can't seem to help myself. I should. But, you know, the thing is that you want to, you just want to please sometimes because you sort of feel like it brings them joy and so forth. So we sort of like to do that, and it's a sort of a tendency at times. But we need to make the tendency. We need to make something in us that wants to be led by God's Spirit. And you know, we don't need signs and wonders. We just need to say, Lord, I don't know what to do about this. Please show me. And many times, not that moment, but as a little bit, you'll begin to see God showing you. Could this cause another person to stumble? If I do this, well, Paul said that. Now, Paul didn't mind eating if the food was blessed by idols. It didn't matter to him. Because his faith was more mature. His faith recognized it wasn't in that. But he said, if my brother is offended by me eating this meat, I won't eat meat anymore. You see, could this cause another person to stumble? We have to be very careful that we are examples and not to make others stumble. Serenity test. I like this one. Because I like peace. Have I prayed and received peace from my decision? Now, that is one of those things that it just, you know, you can be in turmoil. You can be sort of, and then as you pray and say, but Lord, I want your will. I go through these things, and then it seems like peace comes to my heart. And I feel very confident in doing it. Peace brings confidence. And so we have to recognize, is this going to hurt someone else? So we need that peace. And so we also have the sanctified test. Will this keep me growing in the character of Christ? This should be something that we really want to become part of us. I want to grow. There is something very wonderful about looking back at yourself and seeing what God has changed and made in your life. Seeing that change, seeing that something that makes you have peace and satisfaction. So will this help me to grow in the character of Christ? One time there was a man, and I knew he didn't like me. And I knew he was a leader. And so one day he was coming. It was in church. He was coming past. I hadn't seen him. He just got back. And I thought, and I knew he just, I knew that he, there was something there I could feel he didn't want to speak to me. Maybe I was wrong, I don't know. But anyway, I felt he didn't want to speak to me. And I sat there and I thought, what do I do? And what I did, I felt I should do. I got up, went back, shook hands with him, told him I was glad to see him or whatever I said, went back to my seat. It wasn't long before that man died. You will never know how happy that I was, that I had made the decision and it helped me to grow in my character. And in my spiritual life. These are the little things that helps us to grow. And of course, the supreme test is, does this glorify God? Now, there's some reasons why we can't seem to get God's intentions or ideas or thought on it. Because we may not have a pure motive. Now, he will not do anything when our motive is not pure. He's not going to get you the lottery ticket. He's not going to do a lot of things because our motive's not right. I want to get back at them. Lord, help me to do better than they're doing. But deep inside, we're saying, I'm going to get back at them. Our wills aren't surrendered. He can tell us, you know, but we won't do it. We don't surrender our wills. Nor seeking his will through his word. You just didn't bother to read the words. You didn't feel like there was enough. You didn't have enough faith. You didn't believe that that could help any. You didn't repent of some known sins. He does not hear the prayer when it is covered with sin. Now, some people say he does because we're his child. He always, listen, my friends, the word of God tells us that when there's sin, he cannot answer our prayer. If he could not look on Jesus on the cross, he certainly can't look at us. His not praying continually and earnestly. It may be at times you just say it and your heart is really in it and God hears you and understands. Other times you may have to pray continually and earnestly, particularly when I have a motive that I'm not sure is right. I've had those. I could tell you stories about them, but and I have had to pray, and I've had to ask God to help me until there came a time when he just seemed to take that thing out of my heart. I wanted it out. I recognized my motive wasn't right. So he wants continual and earnest prayer. And then sometimes we can't wait. We can't wait. Dear blessed Abraham, who waited 50 years probably for his promise, maybe 40. God promised him a child. When he did, he didn't seem concerned that he knew Sarah could have a child. So Sarah must have been between 40 and 50. And he was about 60, between 50 and 60. But he waited and he waited and he waited and he waited until he was 100. Still believing God. He got sidetracked. God pulled him back. So sometimes we can't wait. We are a very instant people. We even stand and walk up and down in front of the microwave. Stand there waiting. You know what I mean. We're very instant people. One man come from overseas and he said, I've seen instant coffee, potatoes. And one day I went and I saw a bottle. It said instant powder for children. He said they even have instant children. We do. We're an instant people. We find waiting very, very hard. But give God time and waiting. And then we'll not suffer for the glory of God. If my decision means that I may have to suffer, just even a little bit. Now, I try to be honest because one time I wasn't honest. When I was a kid, I liked to pilfer. You know what it is? Steal. I would bring books home. I would take money from my mother, from the church, from my mother was a treasurer and she knew where to keep it. I had a very bad tendency toward that. So when God spoke to my heart and I had to get up in front of everybody and tell him I was a little thief, I haven't done it since. I'm very, very honest. I try to be very honest, maybe overly honest. Well, anyhow, I'm saying all of that because I don't give my computer programs away. I don't do it. Now, I know lots of people do, good people, Christian people, they do, but I just don't feel like I can do it. And sometimes it hurts because Like I had a friend, dear friend, I love that man. He was our, he helped me so much when I came to Hope Sound and so forth. And so he said, Jean, I'd like to have that program. Oh. Oh, Sonny. And then, but I said, Sonny, I would love to give it to you, but I just have this prayer.